to the Excuse Me for Our Voice on the Road Home podcast. This is after week one of the football season, game versus Tennessee. Obviously, this is a week to be pleased. California did what it set out to do from the moment it left Neyland Stadium last year. And, well, you can hear my voice. I've definitely blown it out, cheering and rooting them on. I find myself just slightly disappointed. Not in the win. Obviously, it was a good win. Not in the team's play as a whole, which I thought was very good. But I felt like we could have stuck the dagger in just a little bit deeper and really, really solidified our spot as a premier program. I get the feeling, I haven't looked at anything so far. I mean, I'm still driving home. But that when I look at the news reports and everything tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of Cal played great buts. You know, but Tennessee wasn't necessarily performing at its best, but there were a lot of mistakes, but this, but that. And I think that it's unfortunate because I believe Cal played a great game, deserves a lot of credit, and without any buts. And because the team led off in the mid-third quarter through the early fourth quarter, and allowed Tennessee to kind of get back in the game. I mean, the game was never really in doubt. There are going to be a lot more buts than there should be. Let's break down kind of each individual performance. Nate Longshore had a great first half. Outstanding. Picking the right receivers. And directing the team well. I was very pleased. Something happened, though, in the third quarter. He lost it. I don't know why, but he made a number of very costly mistakes that killed drives and just poorly thrown balls. And then, I'm not so sure if it can solely be blamed on him, but that late fourth quarter attempt at the quick snap got bobbled. And I don't know how much can be blamed on him. I haven't seen the TV replay. And I'll get back to how bogus of a referee call I think that was. But speaking just of Nate, I think overall he did a good job. He rebounded from his funk and directed the team in the fourth quarter to solidify the win. So, good job, Nate. Forsett played awesome. He hit the holes. He hit them fast. When he was stopped, he found his way out of trouble. I say that that's a performance that Marshawn Lynch would have had a hard time making. Not in that, you know, the Jukes were as incredible as Lynch is capable of, but he just got it done. And Lynch, there was a little too much flair to his style that sometimes he wouldn't get it done when there was an opportunity just to get his 4 yards. You didn't see Forsett going backwards. He did very well. And in his odd way, tires down the defenses because he hits the hole so fast. He really requires the defense to keep on its toes and play hard. And after three quarters of that, they're having a hard time getting those holes closed up as quickly as they need to get filled up for to slow him down. And he took the end of that fourth quarter and finished the game off. Receivers, I thought, did a great job. Really, you know, getting open, catching the balls. Particularly impressive was their ability this year to hold on to the ball after the hard hit. The coaching must have spent some time working on that because it was way improved over past years where there were times where, you know, it's understandable why they dropped the ball because they did get hit real hard. But, you know, you were hoping, well, you got to be able to try to hold on to that, and they just never were. This game, no matter how hard the hit was, they came up with the ball if it was in the right place. There were one or two dropped balls, but most overall, very solid performance. And I think played very tough. I mean, of all the groups so far I've mentioned, they were the ones that deserved tough points of sticking it to the SEC and Tennessee and saying, we're not soft football players. and it's hard, and we can still play well. Offensive line, I think, did well. Not incredible, but that looks like we're going to have another strong year there. Protected Nate well. I don't believe he ever got sacked, and that's always a good thing when you're playing a team like Tennessee. So good job them. Nothing outstanding. But, well, maybe it was. Maybe it was outstanding. Just in, outstanding in I don't have anything to talk about. The most thankless position on the entire football team. Tight ends, fullbacks, did well. You could definitely tell Tedford was doing the play calling. You saw them involved in the plays. You also saw the plays be effective, unlike last year when a few times they would do that. I was very impressed to see on second and one, Tedford go for the roll out to the tight end. It didn't work this early in the game. It didn't work, but it kept the defense honest. And then there were three or four times later where they were able to pound the ball up with a fullback handoff. That I bet you wouldn't have worked if the first time they had that situation they had gone to that. So good mixing it up. And that got both the tight ends and the fullbacks more involved. There's some youth there, though. You can tell they're going to grow in strength and get better. But they did a good job. Moving on. Well, actually, one last player to mention, separate from the rest of the receivers, DeSean Jackson. Holy smokes! I mean, what a performance! I could not believe he was able to return that for a touchdown. And they just weren't willing to kick to him anymore. It was that simple. And what's incredible to me is how he baits the defense. That was clearly, from looking how it ended up being, a return right. But three separate times he faked like he was going to cut up field inside and got the Tennessee defenders to bite in. And how he managed to slip sideways of them and get around them while doing that was just incredibly impressive. And then once he gets around the corner and turns on the burners, the game's over. Just remarkable. And I don't know. I mean, can you win the Heisman when no one will punt the ball to you? Because I can't see why anybody would after this point. You know, first punt opportunity of the year, he runs back against a solid team. So, we shall see. He could easily exceed last year's performance if they'll ever punt to him. And I actually think along those lines, we need to come up with some kind of cheer or sign or something for us fans to put up to, you know, similar to the pitch to Barry things that we've seen in the past, you know, punt to DeSean. Moving on to the defense, I thought they did a good job with one exception, and that was getting pressure on the quarterback. Ainge had all day to find his receivers, and when there was a significant pass play, it wasn't the first option, it wasn't the second option. He had to dig deep and wait for somebody to come open. But the problem was he had all day to view the field and find that guy. The one thing I really would like to see improve, and this could just be because Tennessee is a tough, strong team, and it's harder than it will be against other opponents, but it's for us to get more pressure on the QB. At the same time, I thought the defensive line and the linebackers did an excellent job against the run. I mean, they forced Tennessee to pass the ball. That ended was, in the end, the undoing. The only area where they were a little bit weak was they seemed to be a little short on a, you know, one short on a defensive back sometimes. And the corner and the safety would get pulled out by two guys and they'd, you know, run a wide receiver, or excuse me, a tight end or a running back out into the flat, and they had a lot of running room. But as the game progressed, there was less and less of that, and the tackles got sure, and the players went down. So I think overall, a strong performance and something to be proud of. Secondary played well. There was never a moment I said, oh, gee, they blew that. You know, there were a few deeper plays, but really I thought almost all of those were because Ainge had a lot of time to throw. So if we can get some more pressure on the quarterback without losing, you know, coverage in the secondary, I think that Cal's going to do really well on defense, a lot better than they did today. It also goes, it should be noted, that there was never a point that Tennessee just, you know, flew down the field with three big plays. For the most part, they had to march it down, and there were a number of times where they got a first down by a half yard. You know, and that's a good sign. You know, good teams might be able to keep pulling that off, but it's a sign that teams are just a little bit weaker, aren't going to get that first down. And Cal's really making teams work for it. So, got to feel good about that. Some single plays to discuss. That attempt at the quick snap for the quarterback sneak towards the end of the fourth quarter, I thought that was a little bit weak. You could tell that the offense themselves wasn't ready, and it only works if everybody's on the same page on offense. So maybe a couple more weeks at practice with some opportunities to you know, solidify that play may help, but it shouldn't go back in the playbook until the offense is ready to execute it. At the same time, I haven't seen the replays, but I guarantee you that ball was not recovered in the end zone. I mean, the whole pile was not in the end zone. The pile was on the two-yard line. And I don't know who really recovered it. I'm pretty sure the replays aren't going to actually show the football. Or the referees would have, you know, the reviewers would have overturned it. But I guarantee you the ball was not in the end zone. They did not deserve to be on the 20-yard line. And I think that it was only because the replayers didn't know for sure where that ball was that they could dismiss the review. And I don't know. We'll see when I look at it on film. But my guess is that was a bad call by the referees, and they don't even really know who had the ball at the bottom of the pile. But they just went with their best guess, and can't fault them too much for that. But it definitely was a blow for the Bears, and thank God the defense stepped up and said, "We're not going to let you abuse us that way." Other plays of interest: the interception and the fumble recovery that, you know, put us up 7-0. I was really worried the reviewers were not going to send that Cal's way. I mean, it was really hard to tell because obviously the ball went forward, but was it because the arm was moving forward, or was it because he was hit from behind and the body went forward? And, I haven't seen the replays to see just how close it was. I mean, on the big screen at Memorial, you can't see that well, but I got the sense that it was a real iffy call. And I guess, you know, there were only two or three plays sent back for review, and I don't think any of them were overturned, and that was a sign that the reffing booth, or the replay booth, was really sticking to the letter of the law, saying there must be clear, conclusive evidence to overturn the play, which I doubt there was in that case, where you could probably make an argument that it should be overturned, but not a great one. But what an astute play by the Cal defenders. I mean, my natural instinct when I saw that hit was to just call it an incomplete pass. He was, you know, moving forward enough that, they're going to call it back. But good deal, you know, playing snap to whistle, as Tedford talks about. They didn't worry about whether it was going to be called dead. There was no whistle, and they just ran with the ball and got us on the board. And it was a huge momentum swing. Even though the game was tied up, it put it so that every time Tennessee got close or tied the game, all the offense had to do was respond, and we'd be back in the lead. It wasn't a case of now we had to score to tie the game. And that kind of psychology wears you down over a game, you know, when you're Tennessee and you're just getting back to tie. And now you need to do more to be able to get a lead. Cal didn't have that problem. All they had to do was score, and they're back in the lead. Another thing worth noting was the stadium situation with the tree huggers and all the associated activities. I thought the police did an excellent job of defusing that situation. And I'll breed up when I get home to find out if perhaps there was a stronger presence earlier, but there was almost no protester presence there when I arrived at 4 o'clock. Good job by the police. They did, you know, maybe the tree huggers weren't able to come up with enough people to make a meaningful protest, but if they did, the police kept them in check the whole time. It really did, I mean, horribly messed things up to have those entrances blocked off. I mean, we came from Bancroft and decided we'd go in the north entrance, even though we were coming from the south, because our seats tend to be on that end, and our thought was that the south, because most people come from the south, that the south entrances would be the one to take the hit. And after talking to others, that was absolutely not the case. The north entrance was an absolute zoo, because there were only two entrances, and they opened up a third right by the hippie fence. It was literally, you know, wall-to-wall people, you know, 30 to 40 people deep, without any lines, just funneling into those entrances. It was really bad. Talking to others, they go on the south side, and it was a piece of cake. So I'll definitely be going in the south side in the future, but from the north side's perspective, it really hurt having that fence up to block people from what are very popular entrances. But overall, you know, they were not a factor. They're piddly two or three people mumbling about saving trees, had no impact, and people did not engage them other than, you know, maybe a quick barb, but you didn't see any extended conversations, which I was pleased to see as well. I hadn't been back to the Oak Grove in quite a while. I think it's probably March, the last time I was there. And boy, have they beefed up their encampment in the trees. I mean, these are practically tree houses with, you know, not walls, but these cloth, you know, barriers that really enclose them in and give them privacy. And, you know, it's really, you know, a big investment in time and effort so that they could have homes in these trees. And what a joke. But the good news is we'll be in court here within 3 weeks, and I'm pretty confident the university will win. I think that's all I have to discuss tonight. Thank you for listening to this edition of On the Road Home podcast. Stay tuned for more blogging on every topic, and we'll talk to you after next week's game versus Colorado State.